Calling to order the Matanuska-Susitna Borough School District School Board meeting. Madam Clerk, do we have a quorum?
We do have a quorum with all members present.
All right. Who has the board goals for tonight? Member Welton.
Matanuska-Susitna Borough School District, our vision. Matsu Borough School District will be a model of excellence in teaching, learning, and engaging all students. Mission. Matsu Borough School District prepares students for success. Beliefs. We believe that all students can and want to learn. Success breeds success. The needs and best interests of students drive all decisions. Stakeholders' participation is crucial to student success. Core values. Stewardship, accountability, empathy, quality, integrity, efficiency, respect, collaboration, commitment. Our goals. We will improve student success, achievement, and performance by focusing on their career and college readiness. We will increase the graduation rate. Our schools will welcome families and community members in the education of our youth. We will create and maintain a safe and healthy environment for our students and staff.
Thank you, Member Welton. I'd like to ask Kenny Pasenik to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
To the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can I have someone move to approve the agenda, please?
I move to approve the agenda.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection? All right, very next thing on our agenda is persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Madam Clerk, can you read the rules?
Public comment pertaining to education on non-agenda items is limited to 3 minutes per person per meeting. There will be up to 1 hour for persons to be heard. Public comment on agenda items will be taken at the time the item is considered. This is your opportunity to be heard, and the board will not respond to your comments. As per Board Policy 1312, individuals testifying may not discuss complaints against individual employees. The speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-aged children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributed to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard or may be handled in executive sessions or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. Maximum of 1 hour per meeting. This is the first half hour. Thank you.
All right.
Joe Boyle has signed up to speak.
Thank you. I won't take up too much of your time. First of all, I didn't realize until a few minutes ago that it's School Board Appreciation Night, so I will take this opportunity to say thank you and tell you how much I appreciate your time and effort and service that you give. And actually, that's why I was coming up here anyway. I just wanted to say thank you at the reception that you gave the teachers who were here last month. They really felt welcomed and appreciated and listened to, and I think that's an excellent trait on any board. And I just want to let you know how much we appreciated that last month. It runs together, doesn't it? So thank you, and have a good board appreciation night.
Is there anybody else in the audience who would like to speak to the board at this time? All right. Seeing none, we will move right on to administrative reports. Dr. Perramo.
Thank you, Madam President. And it's apropos that that would be our speaker on persons to be heard on non-agenda items. As we move into the administrative reports, it is School Board Recognition Month. And for those that aren't here that may read this later or are listening, our boardroom is full of thanks from different schools. I think we have lots of thanks about our playgrounds at our elementary schools. It is a tough job. Sometimes the hours are long, and it certainly is appreciated that we can come together as one voice, understanding many different views. And so that's pretty special to have a school board that considers that. And I want to thank you for your leadership, President Pauger, and for your leadership as well, our Vice President, Mr. Larson. And with that, knowing that it is a difficult job and hopefully you're proud of your district, we have a gift for each one of you that you hopefully will wear proudly around as we visit different schools. And some of you went to Juneau. Lots of folks proudly display their logo of legislature or schools or districts, and we want to be sure that our board can do the same. If there's a problem with the sizes, see me. I was the one who selected them. And for those that can't see, they are zippy fleece jackets and other jackets that say Mat-Su Borough School District School Board. And now all your constituents can identify you. Once again, thank you for your service. I am privileged to be your superintendent, and I appreciate your guidance. Thank you.
Well, I'm very happy about this. Thank you. Great. Thanks. When we have a break, I plan to look at many of these really nice posters that the schools have sent. There's some pretty vigorous posters here. So that moves us on to borough and city reports, and I don't see anybody from either of the cities who usually report, so we will move on to the superintendent and a student advisory board representative. If we can have Ms. Williams go ahead with her student advisory report.
So the Student Advisory Board had a non-regular meeting in the time in between our last school board meeting. We had the first ever joint meeting between the Anchorage School District SAB and the Mat-Su School District SAB. We met at Chugiak High School, which was kind of the go-between. We had about 60 kids there. We had both Mr. Graff and Dr. Perramo join us and give us words of wisdom. We also had Mr. Verbalo show up, which was wonderful. The majority of our meeting was round tables where students sat together between the two districts and discussed subjects that range from community outreach to drug abuse in schools to school climate. The one thing that we heard as an executive board overall at the end of the meeting was how much our students had learned about the other district and how much they had a new perspective on what a big city school district deals with and what a borough school district deals with. And so we had a great time doing that. We were fed a wonderful lunch by the Chugiak Culinary Program, and we met a lot of new friends. So we hope to continue that every year. We've set up a committee to keep in contact with each other, and we just want to say thank you to the school board for helping make that possible and to really endorse our endeavors. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Perramo.
At this time, Madam President, I will present a budget update. It will be very quick. We just completed four budget work sessions in different communities. Last Wednesday evening, we had our first one at Fronteras Charter School. The second meeting was down Kinnick at Kinnick Elementary School. This Monday, just recently, we went to Butte Elementary School, and of course last night we took the drive up to Talkeetna and presented. We chose different communities at the board's request and also different schools for which we had presented in the past. We were met with a good reception. We had many district office representatives there who represent either special education, federal programs, and the like to be sure that we were able to answer questions specific to community concerns. I'm going to do a brief overview of just two slides rather than 20 slides, just to give an update. And this update will be provided to you in regard to the happenings in Juneau and what bills are passed and what they mean for our district. And we do share this in a written report to you each Tuesday, but we will do it in a public meeting as well. So in the FY15 budget scenario, if we could go to the next slide. If we take a look, there's just the state funding history. We do see currently in the governor's bill that he proposed that the blue section, which is the base student allocation, to be increased. But I did want to share over time that there has been an increase in funding. However, it is not in the predictable type of funding that school districts desire, ours included. The energy relief money was in the budget for the last 3 years, and that created somewhat of a stair step for districts to be able to retain staff. Last year, which is this current year's budget, rather, last year was provided safety and security money. These are discussed as one-time money. As you know, the red keeps recurring, but it's only recurring each year. It's not something that can be counted on. When we go into each new year, the blue is actually put into statute, so we understand the BSA and can predict. Knowing that the green is omitted for next year, we will see a shortfall, not only of that $2.5 million, but we really need another $2.5 million on top of that. And so our goals in Juneau is to not only get more one-time monies, if you will, we did request for assistance in health insurance, but we also would like the BSA multi-year funding to be increased. There are several bills out, and the next slide really demonstrates what that would look like in our budget. And this is really the easiest way to understand that. Who's changing them? Oh, there we go. Okay, thank you. It's mysteriously movement. Okay, so if you look at FY15 revenue scenarios, you have scenario A, which is the money that we know of for next year, which is the BSA. The body with the dollar sign in it is just strictly the base student allocation. If we only considered the base student allocation, we presented a budget that would be have a shortfall of $7.37 million. And previously, we demonstrated there's several areas due to that. The lack of safety and security money only being one time, regular movement on salary schedules, insurance increases, all other increases for energy, things like that came out to be about $300,000. And changes in PERS and TERS. So we understand that, again, we are a human resource environment, that as we move on salary schedules, that just happens. That's the nature of our business. Scenario B provides a Senate bill, which is currently being heard, and there's also a House bill that is a companion bill. If we were to have the BSA plus Senate Bill 100, which provides one FTE for correspondence students instead of the 0.8 or 80% of the funding, we would impact our budget by about $2 million. That would assist us, bringing our deficit down to $5.26 million. Scenario C provides the BSA plus the increase in the BSA for which the governor's omnibus bill provided, which is Senate Bill 139 and House Bill 278, which are companion bills. He spoke to $85 increase, which is 1.5. There was discussion, especially at other meetings, of folks that heard that possibly has a chance to go to 2.5% increase. But right now, it's just at a 1.5% increase at $85. If that is the case just with the BSA that we know, plus the increase in the BSA, we would be $4.81 million. The next scenario, Scenario D, provides for both of those bills, which brings us to a deficit of $2.67 million. The next scenario, E and F, are simply to demonstrate what it would take to make us whole in just a BSA with an increase in the BSA would be $245. Scenario F provides the current base student allocation. We would need an increase in $173 in the base plus Senate Bill 100 would also create a balanced budget. Each of these scenarios, A through F, demonstrate that we take into account already the energy money that is included. Those scenarios also take into account a 3% increase from our borough. So that is assuming those two assumptions plus our costs that we assumed as well in our expenditure. That's what we had come up with. Scenario G is a bill out there, Senate Bill 147, and it takes into account a growth model that demonstrates where we fell short in the BSA over the last few years. So where you saw those red blocks in the previous slide with the bar graphs, those red blocks are captured in this 404. Now, when we did the calculations, we also assumed that energy money would be in there. But when this was presented, the makers of the bill discussed it as being a replacement of missing the BSA. So it could potentially, if we took out the energy money, that energy money is $3 million to our district. So if Senate Bill 147 were to pass with the energy money taken out, we would still be $1.78 million in the black. It's green on your slide, but in accounting terms, we would be in the black. So I wanted to share this as we've been asked many times with media, different places, about where is our shortfall, where are our shortfalls. We could start right now and say we're going to $7.37 million short. However, we do know that there are actions and bills out there in the legislature. And so at this point in time, it's highly disruptive to teachers, highly stressful to teachers and community members and students when we discuss at this early stage, knowing that the session isn't over to April 15th. We do need to present our budget to the borough by April 1st. However, these are real bills having legs in the legislature, so to speak. Our goal is to work to increase the $85 in the omnibus bill. And work in the Senate and House on that and discussing that, as well as supporting Senate Bill 100 as it brings a little under $2 million to our district. With that being said, this is the update. We will provide you these updates as things move forward and bills are voted on and as they pass. So we do have a budget fund balance of $5 million. So if you see if we came up $2.6 million short and nothing else was done, the board would have an ability to make an impact on that, slightly, if not everything. We did predict and budget at 100% of what we believe, so we would need some funds in case there were any errors or any emergencies. But we feel confident that our employees and at least our current level of staffing will remain next year. Thank you. If there's any questions, I would be happy to answer them.
Member Larson.
We're planning on the borough to give us a 3% increase. How much is that?
3% increase is about $1.5 million.
Member Welton.
I have concerns over SB 100 because it does include in it, besides, you know, there's some good things in there. There's some things that aren't so good, and I would like for us to be a little careful about it because it does allow for money to go to religious schools in that bill, and we're not. I don't know how to say it at this time, but I want to be careful about saying this is the bill that will help us get through. Thank you.
Do we have any questions or comments from the board? All right. So we'll move on. Dr. Paramo.
Okay. At this time, the borough is present to give us a terrific overview of our bonds and our buildings, and they're looking great. Thank you.
School board members, I'm Jeff Walden from the Madison Borough for your monthly school bond projects update. As usual, I'd like to acknowledge the partnership we have with the school district and their staff, particularly the maintenance department, in getting these projects successfully completed. And I will do a review of school bond projects that are currently in progress and then upcoming projects that are going to be started very soon. Valley Pathways is currently on schedule. The structure is dried in with interior work in progress. I might mention that there is a tour that's going to happen next week for Valley Pathways and the Matsea Day School. I'll wait on the dates till we were 100% sure confirmed on that, but it's looking like next week. Interior pictures of Valley Pathways. This is one of the main corridors, and the other picture is an entrance to one of the classrooms. Matsu Day School is also progressing on schedule. No foreseeable problems. We'll be opening for this upcoming fall for a school year. It will also be on the agenda for the schedule or for the tour next week. It is mostly sheetrocked and progressing well. No problems to report there. A couple of interior pictures. This is the main hallway. As if you're inside looking out towards the main entrance. And then the other picture is of the gymnasium, a little dark there. But Currituck High School addition, you'll be getting a presentation tonight on 95% design, so I don't want to steal too much of their thunder. So far, we're on track with schedule on this school as well. Joe Reddington Senior, Junior Senior High School, Assembly has recently approved construction contract award to Collins Construction. We don't have a contract in place yet, but we expect one very soon. Currently 80% plus design. That leaves some room there to work with Collins and come up some cost-saving measures there. We're on schedule to start construction this spring with site work and civil work, and hope to be progressing through the summer next year in time for school opening the following year. Denina Elementary is currently at 50% design. This is ahead of schedule, and due to the way the bonds are going to be sold, this school will be opening next fall, 2016. So we will have design complete on this school this summer, and we'll have plenty of time to finish a complete design and get that advertised next summer when the bidding climate is a good time to bid, and we'll get that out for bid next winter for a spring start. Iditarod Elementary School is out to bid for design proposals right now. They are due February 28th. The bonds for this project will be available approximately mid-April, so which gives us plenty of time to get the proposals evaluated, get somebody scored and selected, and have that up to Assembly for approval mid-April. And this school will also be opening the 2016 school year. Big Lake Elementary School renovation is basically done. I left it in this presentation because there are still some cleanup items to get taken care of to close out the contract. The cleanup items are left are in addition to the original scope, and they're working on those items over the evenings and weekends. Other additional projects that we have in the works are Palmer High School mechanical upgrades. That contract was recently awarded to FE Contracting. That work will occur this summer, possibly get a jump start on that over spring break. Whatever we do, we'll make sure and not be disruptive to school. Houston Middle School and Palmer Junior Middle School lock replacement was done over Christmas break. After this briefing, I'll take that off. Backup generators district-wide. Design contract has been awarded to AMC Engineering, and we are currently working with school staff getting that design going. This project isn't really weather dependent, so as soon as we get design complete, we'll put that on the street for construction. Flooring replacement district-wide. Snowshoe Elementary School was completed last summer. The remaining schools will be complete this summer. I believe that is ready to go out to bid now if it's not already on the street. Chapel Creek Elementary School roof, we recently received bids for construction. That goes to assembly March 4th, so we have plenty of time to get that work rolling as early as we can in spring. Willow Elementary School roof is in design, and we also plan to get that out for construction this summer. I might add that both of those schools were funded by a grant with the addition of the previous roof bond, and it's looking very good that we still have a pretty decent balance in that bond. We're going to add some additional schools. We have to work that through Department of Education, but I don't see any problems there. Restroom renovation and wash basin replacement. We recently awarded a contract to Wolf Architecture for design, and that process is ongoing. The athletic complex is at four schools. It's 99% complete. The only thing we have left is striping to be completed this spring. Additional athletic field improvements district-wide is currently advertised for design. And then other projects we have that are pending funding availability. ADA upgrades district-wide, we'll be advertising that very soon. Energy upgrades district-wide, that's also these are advertised for design. HVAC upgrades district-wide, and the Houston High School exterior upgrades. I might add that the bonds will be available to the borough for use mid-April, and that the ADA upgrades and the Houston High School exterior upgrades, all of those bonds will be sold. So as soon as we roll out a design, we'll go right into construction and get those done this summer. And if anybody has any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you. So this brings us down to the consent agenda.
I move the consent agenda, item A, the minutes of February 5th, and item B, 14-067, the recommendation for certified new hires.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection to passing the consent agenda? Seeing no objection to passing that, the consent agenda is now passed. Moving to action items.
I move item A, 14-063, reemployment of tenured teachers.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak on this? And I believe we have a short administrative report.
Thank you, Madam President. On action items A, B, and C, these are contracts for employees that we would like to immediately get under contract for next year. While the statute has made tenure teacher contracts in May, we'd like to do those as soon as possible. In addition, there are some non-tenured teachers, special education teachers, and non-tenured related service providers. We do know at this time, even predicting our budget, that these are employees for which we do absolutely want to hire, we do absolutely need them for our programs next year. And each subsequent board meeting that we have from today, we will continue to add more and more teachers, more and more non-tenured teachers that will kind of stagger it by those that work for 3 years, 2 years. And as the session comes to a close, we hope to have all of our folks hired. So you will continue to see hiring for contracts through our next few meetings. Thank you.
Are there any questions for administration? Is there any comment from the board? Is there any objection to passing reemployment of tenured teachers? Seeing none, that passes.
I move B 14-064, reemployment of non-tenured special education teachers.
Second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any comment from the audience? All right, we've already had an administrative report. Is there any discussion from the board? Is there any objection from the board? All right. The reemployment of non-tenured special education teachers passes.
I'll move item C, 14-065, reemployment of non-tenured related service providers.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak to this? Is there any comment from the board? I did have one question. Can you tell me what related service providers entail?
Yes, Madam President. One example would be a speech pathologist, occupational therapist, things like that.
All right. Is there any objection from the board in passing non-tenured related service providers reemployment? Seeing none, that also passes. We're down to non-action items. Item A, which is Matsu Career and Technical High School addition, 95% design approval. And do we have someone to make that presentation, please?
Thank you, Madam President. We do. We're quite excited about this addition. And here we go. Let's start it. And is Mr. Anderton also is present, as well as Luke Fulp? And the principal of the school, Mark Okeson. So if you'd like to come forward just in case there's any questions. Thank you. McCool Collarson and Green was the contract, and that's who's representing here. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Michael Carlson with McCool Carlson Green. I'm the Carlson middle guy in the firm. And we were the architects on the original Career and Tech High School, and we were delighted to be selected to do the addition. I'm just going to give you a very short status update. You guys have seen the design and the plan previously. I do have the plans at the end of the presentation, so if there are any questions about, would like more detail on the site plan or the building plan, you can certainly go into them. And if you got questions about educational issues, we've got our educational people here. And we've got Dave, the maintenance guy. And we also have, not yet introduced, Robert Scott. He's our project manager. And so we've got the A-team here. And we ought to be able to answer any questions you might have. So, quickly, the expansion of this building is it's a very successful program. The expansion of the building is really being guided by the original learning plan, updated to include additional pathways, natural resources, transportation, and human services, in addition to a media center. The population of the school, or capacity of the school, will be approximately 800 full-time equivalent students, up from about 500, although I know they've got more than 500 right now because of the demand. They're bursting at the seams. And the addition area is about 33,000 square feet, as mentioned before. Construction budget's actually about $12.5 million. We're moving towards the bidding period. Within a few weeks, we'll be out to bid. Right now, we're in our final design review. The maintenance folks are looking at the plans. We're reviewing the plans, getting the final coordination done. And we'll be going out to bid in early March and get bids so the construction can start in May of this year. As I mentioned before, Mark will be moving in August of or July, hopefully, of 2015, ready to roll for fall semester. The bidding climate appears to be good. We just bid a school yesterday in Port Allsworth, and it came in considerably under the budget estimate, so we're really hopeful that we'll continue to roll along and get good prices, be able to deliver great value to the borough. I'm pretty confident we will. It's a pretty straightforward project. This is an overall view of the project. The existing school's in the upper portion. The addition is in the lower left. This illustrates how well integrated the addition is with the existing school. Our goal, and based on the design we've got right now, we're definitely going to achieve that goal, is to have this addition be so completely integrated and coordinated with the existing building that you really won't be able to tell the old stuff from the new stuff, except it'll have a little more efficient light fixtures and a few technology differences. Just looking at a couple other views, this is a view you can see on the right side, the right side is the existing canopy, and then the addition is on the left. The glassy section in the center is the media center. And then this is a view inside looking at the media center towards the existing building. We are in the process of permitting and completing the documents right now, and as I said, we'll be out to bid shortly. So is there anything else you'd like me to address, or you have any questions for any of us?
Is there any questions from the board? Member Dearman.
Yes. Mr. Carlson, could you go back to that media center picture,
sure,
if you would?
Yes.
It's hard for me. I have been to Career Tech High and seen the current facility, but it's hard for me to
visualize
get a hold.
How this fits in?
Yes.
Okay.
This media center, is this media center enclosed? Is it a quiet area for students to go in there and study? And are the books and the materials in there secure? Are they in a secure, quiet space?
Yeah, that's really an excellent question. We had a lot of discussions with the committee when we designed this addition. And the school's vision of this media center is really that it's an active hub of learning. It's not a quiet study area. So actually, there's circulation goes through. It's actually open to the existing commons area, and there'll be students flowing through. There'll be areas for students to study. They'll need their headphones if they want to be quiet, or depending on how Mark manages it, there could be some quiet time. But it's really not envisioned as the library that we had when we went to school, where everybody's quiet and studying. It's more of a kind of an active learning space. And we do have quiet areas, testing rooms, and a variety of other places students can go. But based on Mark's experience with the student population he has right now, they really dig this kind of active, engaged, see and be seen type learning environment, and they can focus in those types of environments. So.
Dr.
Brahma?
Yes, yeah. I could comment on that. I know that there was a board communication in regard to this. We created a space that was committee-driven for what libraries look like in the 21st century, and we are holding on to what libraries did look like before as quiet spaces. So even if you visit some of our other schools, you'll see that our librarians are creating more of a media center as we use more online learning, more online resources, more online textbooks. And it is more of a social, not in the sense of let's go hang out here, but more of a social communication place. So it did go through the committee, it did have input, and the decision was made that it should look like industry and how these kids will work when they leave us. And so this was a specific design chosen by the committee specifically for this school of Career and Technical High School. So I want to assure the board that concerns about a different type of library were held, and the committee came up with this design that matches the function and the mission of this school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and probably the closest corollary in the district here is the Sioux Valley Library. You've probably been into Sioux Valley. It's also open to the commons area. They had that same kind of vision. They wanted the library to really be engaged with the students and the activity of the school, so we opened it up.
Member Rutherford.
Along those same lines, could you tell us more about what teachers think of flex space? Is that a necessary evil, or are they genuinely...
Would you like to hear from a teacher?
Actually, I would have... we have a teacher here, and certainly Mr. Okeson can step up and discuss the use of flex spaces. We are starting to place those. If you know, Teeland Middle School has... large areas for which teams meet, team meetings where they take place. The hallways in Mockatons, you can tell, are full of tables, flex space to pull kids in and out of small groups in classrooms. They are requested by teachers that are on the committee, but again, it is a change, and so really sometimes its style has to do with that. But do you want to speak to the interest of the teachers on the committee, Mr. Okeson? The committee was by about 16, 17 people, so.
Sure. Flex spaces are used, and they're not seen as a negative by any means. They're a kind of an open place. If you ever come to our school for a tour, we've had a series of tours in the last couple weeks. we walk through the hallways and we see teachers teaching and they continue to teach. And it is an open space, but we have currently three flex rooms that are being used like that. You can walk down our hallways and see a math class, two math classes. There's an English class. And they're not. It's not seen as punishment to be assigned in the flex rooms by any means. It's an open, workable space that makes our school open and visible. So it's a neat, innovative concept that is not intrusive, and the teachers have never complained about it. And if they were to complain about it, we have enough options. We can give them classrooms, but the people currently in flex rooms, they, at least two of them that I know for sure, requested it, that assignment. So.
I think all my questions have been answered. I was concerned about the library space and the flex space. Just the idea that we know that technology is changing so rapidly. And when I first came on the board, we had Houston High School, and within a couple of years, the ideas of what was technologically great at the time changed. And so I do understand how this can be different. Thank you.
Member Larson.
I would like to hear from the teacher her viewpoints of flex space and the design overall as far as what she sees as an attainable system to educate kids. Is this what we are looking for in the future to educate these kids that are coming up that are smarter than I am in technology, which doesn't take much?
But. I'll give it a shot. I'm Trish Thug. I currently teach at the Matsu Career and Technical High School in the afternoons. I also work a little bit here with the CT department in the mornings, as my background for 20 years now has been embedded in CTE. So I'd be glad to present on my time in the building and how I see the fit for the building. I was also on the original design committee for the building that we're in right now, and got to work a lot with the learning signature of that building and why we chose that. So 7 years now in the building. I concur with what Mr. Oakeson has to say about the use of the space. Really, the design of the building was going to be a career center, and we rolled that into a comprehensive high school for a lot of reasons, because the career pathway model really asks that you hold your academics and your career classes in a close model where you can do integrated academics, you know, teach your geometry and your construction trades class, that type of thing. So for all good reason, and maybe some reasons I don't know, we did go from what was originally going to be a career center into a traditional high school. And so with that, we looked at the model, and some of the teaching spaces were set up for a lot of project learning, particularly the pathway spaces where there's flexible space, complemented by labs, complemented by traditional classrooms, complemented by ample storage, so that if you were doing, say, a project-based learning, a project with students, you could move those projects into storage areas. I think we also had to have, at the time, on our radar the fact that the bond that was used to pass for this building had language in it that the building was a community use building. And we do see that happening in the building quite a bit, where the community comes in and uses the building, and those areas really work for us to provide spaces that are open for community use. The students acclimate very well to the areas. I can tell you, just like Mr. Oakeson said, as you walk down the hall, they have really learned to become engaged in their learning, to have accountability, to not have any of those kind of hiding cubby spaces. They're really asked to use their employability skills, which is a tenet of that school. And as folks are passing, they're not distracted by that. They're asked for, you know, they're just very courteous about their time and the use of their movement through the school. So I think we gain a lot by teaching those to students. I think there's accountability in teaching and learning in these open spaces. I think the students get to see what's going on in other classes as they move around the building. I would just concur that there's a lot of great use for the building, and just as what they're called, extremely flexible and still providing in these building, this building, as well as the addition, a lot of traditional space. So.
Through the president, I'd also like to just allow Ms. Sugg to
mention what she teaches. She's actually a non-traditional pathway as a career technical educator. She has national and international award-winning students in...
Okay, I teach what's called the Cisco Networking Academy, and although it has a vendor name in it, it's not vendor-specific. They just happen to be the world leader in information technology, routing, and switching, and so they write a phenomenal curriculum and give it to us for pretty much free to use as education. And so I migrated from business education background. I was a business educator, and when the Internet Revolution happened and this curriculum came out and schools wanted to be connected, they were one of the forefront of getting students and instructors and staff onto the Internet. It really happened very quickly, and so they looked for staff to come on board and actually gain the skills, but the staff realized that they had other things to do and the students were really hungry for those skills, so they flipped the model and they said, you know, we're going to write this curriculum for students to learn, not for staff to learn. And so it's about my 13th, I lost track, maybe a 14th year teaching this curriculum, again, migrating from a business background. I think at that time, if you had ever touched a computer, you were worthy of being a computer networker, which was retooling for me. But I've had a really good time. I do traditionally teach young men because they think this is the place for them, but I can tell you it's a phenomenal career for young ladies, too, and that's part of what we do, yeah.
On Digital Learning Day, her students were the ones who were talking about the switches and the gauges and the creating the largest video game day.
So they really enjoy that, but it's really based on a good understanding of technology and how we move information across the world. So thank you. Yeah, that's a good point. My classroom right now is a traditional lab, like I said, part of the pattern. The pattern is that you'll see that footprint in five different... Each pathway has a footprint of traditional classrooms. Computer space, flexible space, conference space, you know, teacher offices. And so that footprint hits each of the pathways. I'm in one of the computer labs directly off of a flex class and really haven't had any issues. My students leave and come out of my classroom as they need to. English class right outside my classroom. We collaborate. It's worked really well. I wish we had a student here because I think they would absolutely concur with what we have to say.
Student member Williams, please.
Just to add on to that, I know I have friends at Career Tech, and on SAB we have a strong contingency of Career Tech kids, and I've never heard one bad thing about the flex classes. The major thing I do hear is that the kids don't feel that trapped feeling, you know, around the end of the day or the beginning of the day when you're normally staring out the window. They just feel nice and relaxed, and they really enjoy those flex classes.
Thank you. Are there any members? Member Larson.
I assume, too, that the pathways for this new wing are being worked on. I've been beating up on DePriest about it. And I guess what I'd like to see is that would be next fall or sometime some sort of presentation on how those classes will fit into this school mod and how your staffing increases, because I assume if you're going to go from 500 to 800 students or more, that the staffing also has to fit that module. And the third thing I'd like to say is once you put these pathways together, if there's funding that needs addition to it, that we could possibly put it in our blue book for legislative appropriation, you know, just a thought out there, because we want this to totally succeed, and it will. Thank you.
Member Scott.
I just wanted to make a comment on the open space concept. I work in an office that revolves around this kind of an open space concept, and I like it because the mission of the school, you know, in teaching students how to function and adapt to your environmental surroundings in this open space thing is highly beneficial, I think. And I know sometimes it's hard to, you know, bring about change and accept it, but I think that's really great because it's definitely something that I've had to learn to adapt to in my workspace. Thank you.
Are there any more comments from the board? All right, seeing none, thank you for your presentation.
Could I make a few comments since it's Board Appreciation Day?
Certainly.
I normally wouldn't do this, but I work with a
number of school districts around the state. I also travel outside. I'm through professional organizations. I see a lot of other school districts. And you guys should be really proud of what you're doing here. The kind of breadth of your programs and the quality of your programs are really as good as you find anywhere in the nation. So pat yourself on the back and keep doing what you're doing because you're doing it right. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we brought this item up, I neglected to ask if there were any members of the public who came to speak on this item. I'd like to give you a chance to speak on this if that's why you're here at the meeting today. All right. Seeing none, I'm sorry for forgetting that. So that takes us down to future items, future business. We have a regular school board meeting on March 5th. One also on March 19th, and then we have moved our joint assembly school board meeting to April 1st, which is the day that our budget is due to the borough. So we'll be meeting with them quite early in the afternoon on April Fool's Day, yes, at 4 o'clock. So that is a little bit off of our normal meeting time. Member Rutherford.
Oh, just a reminder to look into whether or not any school wants us to meet, because we usually do it, we try not to interrupt the very end of school, like maybe the last meeting in April or the first one in May.
Does anyone have a school they would like to suggest for that? I went back in my mind trying to figure out which schools we have been to recently. We usually visit the Upper Valley, and then we usually go up toward the other way where people would have to drive quite a ways to get to our meetings. Is there any suggestions for schools that you would like to meet at? Member Welton is suggesting Burchell High, Willow. We've been to Willow just in the last Burchell. Okay, let's make it Burchell. The second meeting in April. If they can accommodate us, that would be great. Does anybody else want to look at the first meeting in April, or do you think one travel? Oh, okay. It's the awards. All right. We won't move that. All right. So we'll look at next fall also. So think of a school for next fall. All right. We do have a tour that we've been talking about going on. Do we have a date for that yet? Or go ahead.
Madam President, we were presented a date from the borough from 1 to approximately 4:30 on the 25th, which is next Tuesday. When they organized a tour for us to the fields, we did finish a little early, and it just depended on the questions at each site.
I would encourage board members, if you can make it at all, it's a wonderful thing to go see how it's shaping up and the bond money is being spent. It's really good. So that would be next Tuesday, 1 to 4:30. And if you can go, let Stacy know so she can make sure there's a hard hat for you. Member Larson.
Due to conflicts, I probably won't be able to go to that. Can we have a second date later on for board members that may not be able to go to it, like in April or something like that?
We can check with the borough and see if they can accommodate that with the building schedule.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, does anybody have any future items or future business they would like to add? Member Welton.
Just want to let you know the second fly-in for AASB is the 22nd, starts the 22nd. I have to go down on the 21st of March. As a member of the AASB board, I have to go down on the 21st. And I'm planning to stay through the entire time. Okay.
All right. Are there any other items? All All right, that brings us to our second persons to be heard on non-agenda items. I don't think anybody has arrived after that exhaustive set of rules that we went through on the first persons to be heard. Is there anybody who would, any member of the public who would like to come and speak on non-agenda items? Please come forward and state your name. We got it.
It's on. Hi, I'm Kenny Pasenik, and I just wanted to say thank you for the Pledge of Allegiance earlier. I was the Student Advisory Board representative from 2005 to 2006, and Member Welton was also on the board when I was here, and I haven't been to a board meeting for the, I just moved back to the Valley, and I'm just coming back after 8 years. So it's nice to be back and to see what a wonderful facility it is here over at the old Sherrod Elementary School. When I was on the board, it was over at Palmer High. So it's, there's so many technical things that it's exciting to see the progression over the last few years. So I just wanted to say also my appreciation for the school board, and I'm happy to be back as a resident both in Alaska and in the Valley. Thank you. Do I need to fit anything?
Thank you. Is there any other member of the public? All right, seeing none, we will move on. We are almost finished with this very fast school board meeting. So is there any correspondence from the board? All right, board committee reports? No board committee reports for this meeting. So administration, your comments.
Mr. Pope?
No comments.
Mr. Stone?
Just want to thank our school board, and also a special thanks to Member Welton and Member Scott for the nice job you did for representing us in Juneau. Thanks.
And I would just like to thank our staff and schools. Over the last 2 days, we have hosted our parents in discussing the progress of their children. And as we know, sometimes those conversations are celebrations, and sometimes those are difficult conversations to have in order to just move students forward in a positive way. And it's done with knowledge, grace, and professionalism by our staff, and I certainly appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, members from the school board, now is your chance. Member Dearman.
I want to thank the schools for all of this lovely artwork that's here this evening. It was quite exciting to come in and see all the color and all their thanks. And I would just like to say that in the short time of being on the school board, I'd like to thank my colleagues. It has been a wonderful learning experience, and I look forward to much more learning and much more participating and doing great things for the students in the MATSU. And I thank Dr. Paramo for her great leadership and vision. Thank you.
Member Rutherford.
Thank you. I went to the math materials open house, one of them anyway, and really enjoyed that. Of course, I'm a math geek, but it was great. I'm not sure how many people came, but they had a terrific display of the math materials they're considering. They could answer all my questions. And it seems that the committees really did their jobs, because I could see where it seemed like we would be happy with any of the ones they narrowed it down to. So I'll be curious to see what they pick. I was a guest at Job Corps because they are welcoming some national people who are reviewing their program, doing sort of an audit, and they wanted some community members, and I'm on their advisory council, but they just wanted people there to show what Job Corps does in the community and how they partner with organizations like the school. So I did that, and I also went to two of the four budget open houses. I sure would like to spend the next year trying to think of more ways to engage the community in that process. You know, such terrific presentations, And I know that I tried really hard since one was out in the Butte, and I know a lot of people there and volunteer in that school to get community members out there calling, Facebook posting, sending out flyers. And I think we had four or five parents. And I know it's tough to get people engaged, but I just really want to be able to say that we do everything we can to involve the community in our budget process. And I don't know what the answer is, but I'd like us to think more about ways to get the community engaged in that. And finally, I'm looking forward to reading on Dr. Seuss Day on February 28th, one of my favorite things to do. Thanks.
Member Larson.
Thank you. I also went and went to the math review, and I appreciate a lot of the questions I had with the staff that were there, especially since the math is all labeled core. And they talked about nationally all the material you buy is centered around national standards, but we adopt them into our standards, which aren't too far from the national standards. And I enjoyed that conversation a lot because that question has come up numerous times with me from constituents wanting to know what that was centered around. Also, I visited a couple other various schools and helped at a couple presentations at a few schools. And I was requested to read at Dr. Seuss, but, you know, kids scare me. But, you know, but I will be reading.
Or you scare kids.
Yeah, they scare. I don't scare them. They scare me. But I will be reading also on the 28th. I look forward to spring showing up finally. Thank you.
Member Welton.
This is probably the first time I've neglected to put my information down from the fly-in. I didn't get it written up. I've been under the gun here to do other work, but I wanted to let you know what the fly-in was excellent. I really enjoyed getting to know Member Scott and getting to know Mr. Fulp and Mr. Stone a little bit better. We were able to sit together a lot and talk about the information that AASB put out for all of the school boards. It was training on how to really be good school boards as far as when we have to interface and ask for money and ask for and tell our story. And that was a lot of it, was how to tell our story. And I thought it was a very excellent way. And we learned about open stance and how we should, you know, come in like this, you know, so that we look like we're powerful and that we have something great to say, and how our stories need to make sense and be credible and to be able to talk with people about our story and not let others co-opt what we are about, and that we make sure that we get our story out there in ways that make sense and show our passion for education. This morning was the Justice Coalition meeting, and we had a full few tables. It was very crowded. We got a lot of good information. I wrote down 15 names, and I know I missed a few. And it was good. Mr. Piku was there, and Diane Domofsky, and Melissa Mudd from the Tobacco Cessation, and it was good. People from the school district were there, as well as a lot of other Valley agencies, and we're talking about the issues of our children. And Amy from Federal Programs for Our Homeless People, I believe that's her name. Sorry, my ideas are... My mind is not getting it all in there, and lots of good information. I also saw the math curriculum, and I am hoping that I'll get out to visit more of the schools. I have some mornings available, so I'll probably be calling the schools and saying, you know, what morning of the week can I come and visit? Because I really want to get in and see some, and I will be reading on the 28th. Thank you.
Member Michelson.
I'm going to try to read on the 28th as well. I can't make the tour, so I would appreciate a second date on that as well. Tuesday afternoons are kind of hard. I went to one of the budget presentations as well, and I think I'm starting to catch on now to school funding was just kind of a new concept, and it was probably the steepest learning curve for me as a new board member. So, by the way, thank you very much for the pullovers. Those are quite nice. Since we met last time, I spent some time with Mr. Piku in instruction, and just trying to get a little better handle on, you know, the culture change that's going on within the district through the Capturing Kids' Hearts program, and kind of get a sense of where we started, where we're trying to get, what we're trying to accomplish, and things like that. So I appreciate those kinds of efforts because I work in an organization that is has similar efforts as well, trying to change the culture of staff and kids in institutions and other settings. So I do appreciate that kind of work. Debbie, you may be a math geek, but I'm kind of an audit geek, and I did recognize that in the Board Connect that our Student Support Services passed their state audit. I'm assuming that's probably a pretty routine event, but anyway, I want to offer my congratulations to Student Support Services and Lucy Hope for that accomplishment. And I think that's about it for me. Thank you.
Member Scott.
It's been a very busy few weeks here since the last meeting. I had the opportunity to go down to Juneau for the AASB legislative fly-in with Member Welton, Mr. Fulp, and Mr. Stone. Thank you for the great job that you all did down in Juneau. We met with all members of our Valley delegation, and we were very well received by them. And in fact, we were able to secure some key meetings with key members of the House and Senate Finance Committees. We really capitalized on the return on investment for prior legislative appropriations and being able to show the value that we've been able to bring and back to the funds that have been given to us. And also we went over our education funding requests, the need for multi-year funding plans, fully funding the correspondence, and then also coming back with some of our education programming funding requests. And it was a very productive trip, and thank you for allowing me to participate.
Thank you. I wanted to let you know I did go to parent-teacher conference. I have two high school students. One high school student is doing very well. My senior, however, had a few not-so-great grades, and his teachers were very good speaking about that. They were very positive, told me I had a great son, but he just didn't complete things. So I know it's very hard for teachers to talk to parents, and I really appreciate those teachers doing that. I really appreciate the parents who are involved in their children's education and do go to parent-teacher conference. So I'd like to encourage parents always to go to parent-teacher conference. And I have realized I missed Miss Williams. Miss Williams, you are the last one for comments.
So the only comment I have is a reminder for our next SAB meeting, which is going to be next Wednesday on the 26th at Colony High School. It will start at 9 a.m. We're going to end a little early because our community service committee has arranged for us to volunteer at the Pioneer Home. So we're really looking forward to our next field trip, I suppose you could call it. And so we just like to look for more ways to reach out to our community. Thank you.
All right. I would like to
We will be going into executive session, but I would like to have about 10 minutes after the meeting and before executive session starts to take a look at the boards here that we have, that were part of the budget presentation, so the board can also look at those. Now, if somebody can take us to executive session, please.
I move to go into executive session the matters the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the government union. Excuse me, can't even talk. Subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, provided the person may request a public discussion. Matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be confidential. Matters of confidential legal counsel or pending litigation, specifically CEA negotiations, MSEA negotiations. Those in the meeting are the school board members, Dr. Paramo, Mr. Fulp, Mr. Stone, Ms. Gardner? No? And Mr. Friedman.
Second that. It's been moved and seconded. If we can take 10 minutes and then meet in executive session. Thank you.